Welcome to Voices Love of Freedom.
Love Talk Radio.
Great to have you here today. We preacher went over giving last night in church, and one of the verses that always pops out on giving and is one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 9:7. It said, "The Lord loveth a cheerful giver." And I tell you, it's something to give. You know, it's better to give than to receive. And till you do it a little while, you don't really realize that because it doesn't sound logical. You know, you're always rather have something. But there comes a point in your life when you can give somebody a little something and it means something to them. And you get to see that and it's a blessing to you and it makes you happy. And it kind of carries you when you get beyond a lot of this materialistic world that we're in today. And it's easy to look around and say, you know, I've got this problem, that we got this problem going on over here, and these things are happening over there, and, you know, you got all these things happening, and at the same time, you're like, you know, why is God letting this happen, and why don't I have the money to go on vacation, or what, I don't know. And it's preached a lot of different ways, and maybe sometimes it's preached wrong, because it's basically saying, hey, if you'll give something, God will give you something. And then we have illustrations in the Bible where the one old lady, the poor lady, she just gave everything she had, and it was just, you know, it was incredible that she did it, you know. And I can see one of us trying to do that and going home and telling the wife, hey, honey, you know, the Lord had this situation in the Bible where he blessed this woman because she gave it all, but, you know, it really doesn't say that he gave her anything. If you and we live in a materialistic world where we got bills and car payments and house payments and we've got all these things that are going on. So guess what we get to do? You know, we get to try to play catch up all the time. And I've been in that game, and it's a bad game. It's a hard game, and you can get behind, and you know, you can think you're big business, and this would never happen to you, and you know, and different things, and then it happens, and you're like, whoa. It's kind of crazy. But I want to move with you this morning. And why does the Lord love a cheerful giver so much? And you go back to when Jesus was walking the earth, and it says in the scripture that it pleased the Lord to allow Jesus to go through what he went through. I tell you what, that's something to please the Father by what the shame and the beating and the suffering and the things that Jesus went through. So the love of God is a little bit different, okay? If he loves us because he starts to see us be more and more like him and more like his son Jesus, then all of a sudden I think God looks down and says, wow, there's somebody that we can use a little bit. Now, the people that he used in the Bible most of the time had very little. We are all in the United States of America probably rich. Well, not probably. We're all rich in comparison to what the original 12 had. Paul may have had a little something going on there because he had a little bit of a position, but I would figure that he probably cashed in all he had and invested it in some church when he got his affairs straight to start on his worldwide trek for Jesus. So when we look at love, we see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We can all recite that verse. That's John 3:16. So God loved somebody else so much, or loved the world, or loved us, or loved the people of the world so much, that it pleased him to allow Jesus to suffer like he did. We don't have a love like that, because there's nothing about giving our child for anybody else that would please us to do it. Now, God could see the end zone on this, you know. God could see the end product. God had an understanding of what was going to happen, and there was no doubt in anybody's mind, okay, there was no doubt that he was going to take care of it, okay. Now, sometimes I think we get lost in that and, you know, different things. But God is already in heaven with you and me. I believe that. Because if he's in all places all the time, time doesn't constrain him the way it does us. So even though I might make a failure today, even though I might make a huge mistake, huge blunder, at the end of the day, I'm saved. And at the end of the day, I do have to recognize it, and I do have to talk to God about it. And if I've done something to somebody else, I should go talk to them about it, you know. But here's the thing. Everybody's doing something to everybody now, so it makes I'm sorry is not worth much. Let's just be honest, okay? Sorry if I don't repent means nothing. The same sin over and over again. Lord, forgive me. I beat my wife last night. Lord, forgive me. I beat my wife last night. Lord, forgive me. I mean, you know, there's not going to be much forgiveness in that. And it's God that cleans these things up. And it's understanding the fruit of the Spirit, which starts out with love. See, you're going to love things around you. You're going to love the people around you. You're going to love your life. You're going to love things a little bit better when the fruit of the Spirit starts to happen in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is this. You get saved. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. You start reading the Bible, going to a Bible-believing church where they're teaching a lesson and preaching a little bit. And the next thing you know, guess what? Guess what? You're starting to grow in Jesus. You're starting to see the love that Jesus has for his people. How much that he sent his only begotten son. How much that he gave you the complete rule book to get you to heaven. You know, we discount this Bible, but every time I pick the Bible up and open a page, you know what I'm really essentially doing? Holding the hand of Jesus Christ. That ought to get me just about as excited as I can get. Because I'm holding the hand of Jesus. Jesus has a master plan, a plan to keep me for all eternity. In the plan of human time, God calls every church member part of the bride of Christ, right? Part of the body of Christ. Those are very important titles. If you really start, researching out, hey, the bride, there is nobody more important at the wedding than the bride. Even the groom takes a little bit of a back seat to the bride, right? Jesus Christ is the groom at our wedding. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, we are going to go out of here. And at some point before we come back with Jesus Christ, there's going to be a marriage supper. In the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Lord is going to sit down at the table with us, those that believe. And what a wedding it'll be. Finally joined together to never be divided asunder. See, we're never going to be parted with the Lord after we're caught up to meet him in the air or we're dead in Christ and we rise him first. We shall ever be with the Lord. Man, I stuttered all over that, didn't I? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are walking around will be caught up to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is a love that God has toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has a plan, and it's all built around love because it can't be built around how good I am because I'm not very good. You're not very good. All have sinned, Romans 3:10, 3:23. None are good, no, not one. The opportunity for you and me today is to be what Jesus wants us to be. The opportunity today is for you and me to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. The opportunity is to learn to love others like you love yourself. It's even commanded in there, love the Lord God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. We know how to love ourselves. We know how to spoil ourselves. We know how to do things for ourselves. But it's probably our biggest downfall in society of the materialistic way that we live today. We put pressure on other people by the things that we do. Now, it's not necessarily our trouble. If I go out and buy a real expensive car and you try to go out and buy one too, and you feel the pressure to do that, that's on you in some respects. But on me, I could have probably got by with a motorcycle. Now, I don't want to encourage motorcycles, so I take that back. But at the end of the day, you see where we're going with this. At the end of the day, the Lord has a master plan because it's all built around love. See, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See, there's a love and a joy and a peace that you have with Jesus Christ that you do not have any other way. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing that you can get that's going to hold on to your hand forever like the love of God. Never leave you, never forsake you. You know, there in John chapter 14, my favorite chapter, John chapter 1, or chapter 14, I'm sorry, the disciples are troubled. Jesus has talked them into quitting their jobs. They had pretty good jobs. Maybe they owned their own boats. Maybe their families depended on them. Who knows what the deal was, but Jesus came through town and said, hey, who's following me? These 12 followed. One was the devil, but the bottom line was they all forsook what they had, and they gave it all up. When you give, how do you give to the Lord? They gave it all right off the bat. Didn't even have the Holy Spirit yet. Now, granted, there was something going on there. They could tell something about Jesus. But they wanted to know about Jesus. Listen, you and I got to want to know about Jesus. We got to get to that position where we want to know something. You follow me? We've got to get to that position where we want to know something. Do you want to know about Jesus anymore? Do you want to know about eternal life? Do you want to know about the love that passes all understanding? Do you want to know the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the meekness, the gentleness that is just not in you now? My grandpa on my mom's side, they said, would just as soon fight you as look at you. But you know what happened to him? He got saved. He got saved, and everywhere he went, he wanted to tell people about Jesus. There are millions and millions of stories one day you'll hear in heaven. I don't know if that's a testimony that'll happen or not. But you're going to hear about people that said, I was the meanest human in the world. I didn't think I could be saved. I didn't think. But the love of God reached down for me. And when no one else in the world loved me and I felt the love of God, things began to change. Boy, isn't that how it would work? The love of God that passes all understanding. The love of God that he would send his son to die in my place. The love of God that he created Adam and Eve and put them in a perfect place and they break the rules and he doesn't kill them as he said. But there was a death, a separation from God that was only reconciled by the second Adam, which was Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, he's reconciled them. He's reconciled. Man, oh man, it's good. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, and he leadeth me by the still waters. Listen, that's the only way I can drink. If you go back and do a little bit of research on the sheep, he cannot drink out of swift water. He can't find his own food. He can get lost in a crowd of 100. We are so depicted as sheep so often, and guess what? We better pay attention that way. Because the Lord knows the plan. The Lord has a way. And I believe with the Lord God on our side that there's nothing that won't help us, won't save us, won't keep us where we need to be. Hope you got a little something out of the message today. I've shortened it up a little bit. I know it's hard to listen of a morning you're rushing and going. But I tell you what, the Lord wants you to give. How much does he want you to give? Lord, I don't know. My problem is if I'd give it all every week, you know, is my problem. And you say, well, why is that a problem? Well, I mean, I might not have nothing to eat on next week. I could tell you about a time I was so excited in church, and I wrote this great big check, and I mean, like 2 days later, I was completely broke, and I almost had to go back and ask for the check. I toughed it out. But, it's when we give till it hurts that the Lord looks at us and says, wow. When I give just a little bit of icing, I just flick the icing on top of the cake to the Lord. Well, what if he'd have done that to us? Just a little bit. Just a little bit, you see. But the Lord has a master plan for us. Man, he's got a plan, and it's going to be so good. I'm hoping and praying that you get Jesus in your life. He wants a relationship with you. Have a great day. God bless.